नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। नारायणं नमस्कृत्यां नरं चैव नरोत्तमां देवीं सरस्वतीं व्यासां ततो जायामुदीरहे नष्टप्रायेषु अभद्रेषु नित्यं भागवत सेवया भगवतीरुत्तम श्लोके भक्तिर्भवती नैष्टिकी कृष्णाय वासुदेवाय देवकी नंदनाय च नंदगोपकुमाराय गोविंदाय नमो नमः। रीडिंग फ्रॉम श्रीमद् भागवतम कैंटो 10 चैप्टर 86 वर्स नंबर 46। शृण्वताम् गदताम् शाश्वत अर्चतम् त्वाभिवादतम् नृणाम् संवादतम् अन्तर्रिधि भस्य अमलमानम्। शृण्वतां गदतां शाश्व अर्चतां त्वा विभिवन्दतां नृणं संवतम् अन्तर्रिधि भस्य अमलात्मनम्। शृण्वतां गदतां शाश्व अर्चतम् त्वभावन्दतम् नृणां संवदवतम् अन्तर् हृदि भाष्य अमलातमनम्। शृण्वतां गदतां शाश्वत अर्चतम् त्वाभिवन्दतम् नृणं संवदवतम् अन्तर् विधि भाष्यमलात्मनानम्। शृण्वताम, फॉर दोज हु आर हियरिंग, गदतम स्पीकिंग, शाश्वत कॉन्स्टेंटली, Archatam, worshipping. Tva, you. Abhivandatam, offering praise. Nrinam, for men. Samvadatam, conversing. Anta, within. Riddhi, the heart. Bhasi, you appear. Amala, spotless. Atmanam, whose minds. Translation: you reveal yourself within the hearts of those persons of pure consciousness who constantly hear about you, chant about you, worship you, glorify you, and converse with one another about you. Text 47. But although you reside within the heart, you are very far away from those whose minds are disturbed by the entanglement in material work. Indeed, no one can grasp you by his material powers, for you reveal yourself only in the hearts of those who are learned to who have learned to appreciate your transcendental qualities. Purport by the disciples of His Divine Grace, Srila A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. The All-Merciful Lord is in everyone's heart. Seeing Him there, however, is possible only when one's heart is completely purified. Materialists may demand that God prove His existence by coming into a view as a result of their empirical investigations, but God has no need to respond to such impudence. As Lord Krishna states in the Bhagavad Gita, Nayam prakasha sarvasva yoga maya samarvita mudayam abhijanati lokamam ajam avyayam. I am never manifest to the fools and unintelligent. For them I am covered by my internal potency, and therefore they do not know that I am unborn and infallible. Om Ajnana Timirandhasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Smai Shri Guruve Namaha. Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prestaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Iti Namine. Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pracharine Shesha Shunyavadi Pashyatya Deshatarine Vancha Kalpa Tarubhyascha Kripa Sindhubhya Evacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha. Namo Mahavadanyaya Prema Pradayate Krishnaya Krishna Chaitanya Namine Gauratvishe Namaha. He Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dinabandhu Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kant Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Rishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye. Jayashi Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shri Vasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda. Hare Krishna Hare Krishna Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna. So, we are continuing our chapter wherein the Lord has traveled a long distance and gone to Mithila, and we are seeing the wonderful loving exchanges between the Lord and his two of his wonderful devotees, Shrutadev and Bahulaswa. And this is a beautiful verse, which, or rather, conversation which is happening between Shrutadev, who is very, very simpleton Brahmana, who has invited the Lord in a very, very simplistic environment. And he's just so wonderstruck, he's just so surprised. Is that how can the Lord personally come to my house? This is a natural outcome of being very grateful. That when we are not grateful, then whatever happens doesn't really make us feel indebted. Nothing. So what? This is the thought process. So what? This Prabhuji gave so much donation. So what? He has to give. So there is no gratefulness in the heart. But herein we are seeing this very, very wonderful devotee, a wonderful character who has qualified himself to be on the pages of Bhagavatam. It is not easy to find yourself qualified to be in the pages of Bhagavatam. And of all the wonderful devotees in Mithila at that time, Shrutadev has found himself, or rather made himself qualified enough to be in the pages of Bhagavatam, where Sukhdev Goswami is mentioning about him. So he's a very special person. Very, very special. So herein we are understanding why is he special. Because many a times, you know, when we work hard, you know, for something and it does not happen, then it gives rise to frustration. And when you work hard for something and it does happen and it keeps on happening the way we want, it can give rise to complacency. Because things happen. I was hearing a very interesting, I was bowled over by that one statement. I was hearing a lecture by His Holiness Radhanath Maharaj, which he was giving on the day of Dasehra many years back. And he was describing Ravan. And he said that Ravan had a situation where everything happened the way he wanted. You know, he had unlimited wealth. People did what he wanted. He actually captured the whole kingdom of Kuvera. We all know the whole story. And everything happened the way he wanted. And then Maharaj said, how boring if everything happens the way you want. There's no spice in life. And I think it requires a deep realization to speak this. And for all of us to, because all of us are wanting always to have things happen the way we want. And we become extremely frustrated when things don't happen. And most of the time things don't happen the way we want. Right? So we are constantly in a state of frustration. We are not in the Brahma-Bhuta platform, but we are in the Bhuta platform. A frustrated person. You know, Bhuts, the ghosts. Krishna says, Brahma-Bhuta prasanna atma na sochiti na kankshiti sama sarveshu bhuteshu mad bhakti labhate param. So one who is the Brahma-Bhuta platform, and of course that Brahma-Bhuta is talking about one who is on an equipoise situation, who is on a balanced situation. Na sochiti na kankshiti, neither hankers nor laments for anything. And because he neither hankers nor laments for anything, he is prasanna atma, he is happy. Because there is nothing to really lose, or nothing to really fear to get lost, and nothing to really hanker for things to have. He's just happy. But many of us, when we work hard and things don't happen our way, we get frustrated. And when things happen our way, it's a boring thing actually, because you become so complacent. And the way Maharaj spoke in this particular class, which was quite interesting. It's how boring if everything happens the way we want. There is no excitement, there is no value for things that you have. Because if you just want something and you get it, What's the value? But you really worked hard for it. You tried 10 times, you not got it. At 11th time you get it. Oh, well, it is precious. So precious. Huh? So Shrutadev is showing the most important, or rather the one of the most important qualities that devotee needs to have is not that he has got some, what can be a greater wealth than to have the Lord coming to your house? He is the richest man in the creation. Lakshmipati is sitting in his house. Lakshmipati traveled all the distance. He divided himself into two so that he wanted to equally please both these devotees, the king and Bahulasva and Shrutadev. He's a rich man, Shrutadev. So there is no complacency. There is no taking for grantedness at all, not even a tinge of it. And that is making him speak what he's speaking. Said Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur is giving a purport to this particular two verses. Why is he speaking this? Oh Lord, you are revealed to people who are constantly hearing about you, chant about you, worship you, glorify you, converse about you to one another, and you reside in the heart, but still you are very far away from people's minds who are disturbed by entanglements in the material world. Because he was thinking that, how is it, my dear Lord, you are at my house? Because he is thinking from his perspective that I never constantly chanted your names, and discussed about things. I am a fallen person. My mind is fixed, filled with so many materialistic qualities, which Chakravarti Thakur is explaining. I am a grihastha. But with all these things, you come actually in this situation, but how is it that you are sitting with me, and not only with you, the sages also together with you? How is it? So he's showing his complete humility. How is it possible? Not so what, but so is it happening? Can't believe my eyes. That's his mood. And he's speaking these most wonderful esoteric truths, which are actually revealed truths, which we find similar truths in the Ishopanishad, in the fifth chapter. Now we have this, I remember... I read the initial, when I first came to Krishna Consciousness a few months, I read the initial small books, Scientific Basis of Krishna Consciousness and Coming Back, and these are all initial books. And then somebody told me, and now you should read Ishopanishad. I said, fine. So I said, I feel nice, I'm reading a Upanishad. Felt nice about it, I'm reading some Upanishad. But literally when I read it, one after another verse, Om Purnamada Purnamidam Purnash Purnamudachite Purnasha Purnamadaya Purnameva Vashishyate. And then I said, what is the meaning? He said, Krishna is perfect and complete, and everything emanating from Krishna is perfect and complete. Didn't make any sense. I said, what is this? If Krishna is complete and there's something comes out of the complete, that remains also complete, and the part is also complete, the whole is also complete. I said, how is it? So this is typical Updeshanik way of talking. This one is the Puranas, the Puranic, which is beautiful leelas and you understand it. But Upanishads are difficult to understand. And when I read the fifth verse, I was really, really, I said, well, what is this? It is said, the Supreme Lord walks and does not walk. He is far away but very close. He is within everything and yet outside of and everything. So this didn't make any sense. I said, what is this? And this great devotee, Shrutadev, who is a simpleton person, not a jnani or a person who has read the Upanishads and really mastered it. He is just speaking out of his heart, and exactly similar to what we read in the fifth verse of the Upanishad, Ishopanishad. And what he is saying is that, O Lord, you are revealed to people who hear about you, chant about you, worship you, glorify you, and converse with one another about you. This is interesting. This is a wonderful way a devotee really gets attached to Krishna. First, what happens? It could be that the whole thing can be done simultaneously, but it could be that this whole step, it is a step process. First, a devotee hears about Krishna. The wonderful attractive pastime of Krishna. He hears it. We have so many examples of people who have heard and got so attracted. The Dvijapatnis. Jaya Dvijapatni Jaya. Nagakanya Gan. He said that the great Dvijapatnis, they didn't get attracted to the yagyas, but they just heard from passers-by, oh, Krishna is so beautiful, Krishna is like this. Oh, they got attracted like anything. And then when you start hearing about the glories of Krishna, even that beautiful story of the thief, he was sitting, and he simply heard that Krishna has beautiful jewels, and he was explaining blue color boy, and he heard it, and just got so attracted, of course. Kama sabo kama moksha kama udarati. You have all the desires, you have no desires, anything, you are attracted to Krishna, is perfect. And he had all the desires to really steal this, but he was attracted, he heard it. And he heard it, and what did he do? He heard it, and then he says, you hear, and then you chant. And even the thief, he went everywhere, and he was chanting. Did you see the blue boy? And now what is the difference between Hey Radhe Braja Devi Ke Cha Lalita Ananda Shuno Kutho and the thief? It's a similar mood. Gopis, the Goswamis are saying, Hey Radhe Braja Devi Ke Cha Lalita, O Radharani, O Braja Devi Ke, where are you? Are you in the Govardhan? Are you in Radha Kund? They're searching. Prabhupada says that this ours is a searching and seeking movement. Just now I heard a class today morning. Beautiful. Prabhupada just said, what is our philosophy? Searching and seeking. And he said, it is not that we have got it. It is seeking, searching and seeking movement. We are constantly searching and seeking. And the thief, after hearing, he was chanting, have you seen the blue boy Krishna? He has a peacock feather, this. He was glorifying. He was asking, where is Krishna? And then, chant. And then natural, when you keep on chanting, you want to worship this person. Because it's just, it said that, how much nectar these two syllables Krishna has produced. When you hear, Rupa Goswami is explaining the same process. Shukadev is saying something which is coming just from his pure, innocent, simplistic heart, which is actually written by the scholarly Vaishnavas. Same things. So knowledge is just revealed from the heart. It is not acquired by empiric studies. And it is so wonderful what Rupa Goswami is saying. Rupa Goswami is a scholar. We know he is a scholar of Sanskrit, scholars of so many languages, author of so many books. And he's saying, how much nectar these two syllables Krishna has produced. Then when you hear, you require many, many years. And then you require many, many tongues because you want to chant. You hear it and you want to chant it more and more. Krishna, 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 Krishna. And then he says, when the name enters the quarter of my heart, it utterly captures my heart and my senses become inert. Senses become numb, sun. Like when we sit for long, our legs become inert. Doesn't work. You have to bang it. Come on, get into action. But that's what is happening to Rupa Goswami is describing. And that's hopefully it happens to all of us someday. That when you hear the glories of Krishna, that you chant their glories, and when that, and it's also explained in other words that it's like the sparrow making a beautiful nest in my ears, and that then is such sweet description of what I'm saying. But this whole holy name, when it comes into my heart, it just captures the in the quarter of my heart. It captures my heart, and my senses become inert. And that's what happens. He's saying you start worshipping, glorifying. And then this happiness of having Krishna in your heart. I'm sure many of you, at least my generation, maybe many of you in the next generation, we don't know. But we used to have this game, we used to be very innocent games. That time it was such nice innocent games. We used to have, we used to have empty capsules. And in that capsule we would put a ball bearing inside the capsule. I don't know how many of you really, in Bombay we used to play it, many of you, I don't. And then you play it and it just becomes so, because capsule is so light, and the ball bearing within is so heavy, it becomes so, it moves like this. Try it out next time when you are in. It becomes, because something very light gets something very heavy inside, it cannot just take it. It just becomes so active. So when I saw that capsule, and then I thought of that capsule when we become a devotee, that's a state of a devotee. That he's having no substance. By nature, we don't have any substance. We are just insignificant part of Krishna. Very infinitesimal, small. But that small, insignificant, non-existent part, when it gets Krishna, that person becomes ecstatic.
Like the capsule just starts moving here and there. And that is the symptom of a person who starts to talk about Krishna. He cannot survive without talking about Krishna. Srinvita Swakata Krishna Punya Shravana Kirtana. Machita Madagata Prana Bodhantascha Parasparam Kathyantascha Mam Nityam Tushyanti Charamanticha. Beautiful description. A devotee cannot, should not, and will not remain a Moni Baba. He cannot remain a Moni Baba. Because that ecstasy is the happiness, I won't say the ecstasy, ecstasy is a long, is still a far off process, but the happiness of knowing Krishna is so wonderful and so exuberantly ecstatic and activity creating that he cannot stop talking about it. And that's why he says, first you hear, then you chant, then you worship, and then you glorify, and then you start conversing with one another. This is the way Krishna is, he said, this is the way you reveal. You reveal yourself to those people who are engaged in these activities. So this is the way Krishna is revealed. That when somebody is hearing, chanting, worshipping, glorifying, and then conversing. And he's thinking in his, and the reason Vishwachakra Thakur is saying, but Krishna, I never did all these things. Little does he know that he was doing it. That's his ecstasy. That's why Krishna came. But he in his heart is saying, well, I don't deserve this because Krishna, you are revealed to only those people who do this. But I didn't do it. You are so kind to me. And he said, and then he says, the next verse is explained that Krishna, actually, what is my situation? He says, but although you are reside within the heart, you are very far away from those whose minds are disturbed by entanglement in the material world. No, this is the contradiction, apparent contradiction. To be very close and yet be very far. That the Upanishad is explaining. Ishopanishad. To be very close but yet very far. To be within everything but not within anything also. So he said, Krishna is not revealed, but is indeed no one can grasp you by his material senses, for you reveal yourself only to the hearts of those who have learned to appreciate. Interesting. Learned to appreciate, and we'll take this point in the second part of our talk. Learn to appreciate your transcendental qualities. So we understand that in Krishna consciousness we see so many contradictions. And we come across so many contradictions. And sometimes those contradictions, they cause us confusion. Like, you know, very soon in the next 2 days, we will worship Lord Damodar. We'll have, in all temples across the world, we'll have the beautiful form of Mother Yashoda with a stick. And Krishna is... Now you see from the Upanishad point of view, it's a tongue twister for me, sorry. When you see from that point of view, you feel that, what is happening? Here is a person who is feared by fear personified, and here it appears to be not some demon showing his stick. That your child will get scared. A beautiful lady who can't even run very fast is explained. Right? She couldn't run because of a heavy body. She couldn't even run fast. Don't talk of, you know, scaring anybody. Very innocently beautiful Brijbasi motherly figure, Mother Yashoda. And she's holding a string, and Krishna is so scared. And we'll be singing every day for the next 30 days. Rudanta muhur netram rud, whatever it is, rudanta muhur netram yugmam rujantam. That, you know, rudant, he's doing rudan. He's not doing just crying. He's crying like this. Rudan means, you know, to cry heavily, not just mild crying. Rudan karna, when somebody dies, he say itna rudan kyu kar rahe ho aap. When somebody dies, that person does Rudan, that means heavy crying, wailing. Krishna was Rudanta Muhur, because Satyavrata Muni is actually seeing this pastime and is writing. He's seeing it with the eyes of from his heart. He's seeing it and he's writing this, and he's seeing that Krishna is doing intense Rudan. And how is it? It is a great contradiction. How is somebody so fearful, and that somebody is God, who is feared by fear personified, how is this possible? Either this is useless, or the books are saying is useless. It can't be both. How many times we have thought like that? But you know, sometimes we don't even think. There's a no problem. We just do what it comes, and that's good sometimes. Too much thinking is not, it causes too much trouble sometimes. Just do it. I once asked a very, very, realized later on it was a horrible question. The first time I went, you know, and I first had darshan of Radharaman deities, you know, and then, you know, I was fortunate enough, this was in 89. And just, it was just me with my spiritual master, and just two of us. And then I said, very, very useful, but Maharaj, where is Radharani? Only Krishna is there. And he was so angry. I said, just shut up. Just have darshan. I said, okay. So sometimes thinking is not good. You know, because apparently, you know, with your most mundane eyes and your corrupt mind, you don't, where is the form? Only if there is a form, there is Radharani. But there, Srimati Radharani is. How can Radharani not be present when Krishna is there? That's why it's Radharaman. I'm just giving an example. So this duality is there, and sometimes we understand that why these dualities exist. What should be the reason of these dualities existing? And I was trying to understand, and then we see that first, why this duality is existing. This Krishna is... is unlimited. And how are we trying to understand Krishna? Through the descriptions that we know about him. Right? And the descriptions that we know about Krishna are conveyed to us through a language. The unlimited Krishna is described by a very limited language. And you know, Sanskrit is a profound language, is the mother of all languages. So it has, but you know, I was just trying to understand that, you know, many of us are trying to understand Krishna the way it is explained to us by the English language. and it's for a few minutes we'll understand that how funny and how imperfect is this English language. I said, I was just trying to analyze, and I came across something. I said, this language is so strange, and nothing against the language, because we are using their language, so we use everything Krishna's service, that is perfect, but still it is a language and we must know what we are using. Why do we have nose that runs and feet that smell? Have you thought over it? We speak it. As he has a running nose and a smelly feet. I say, in what other language do people, it said that if adults commit adultery, do infants commit infantry? Just by the way, I'm just talking about his language. So if olive oil is made of olives, what do you make baby oil from? We say we use baby oil and we use olive oil. But I'm just trying to show the limitations of a language. And that too, how limited. If vegetarians eat vegetables, then what do humanitarians consume? Interesting, isn't it? And of course, if pros and cons are opposites, then is Congress the opposite of progress? And nothing against Congress doesn't mean this party that we are talking about. In general, Congress, any Congress. Yeah? We are not talking about any political party here. But it is not the case. So we find this so many apparent contradictions in this language itself. Isn't it? This language itself is so contradictory. So what to talk of using anyway a contradictory language to explain Krishna, who is by nature very contradictory? So the first thing is, we must understand this, that Krishna is actually not contradictory. Srila Prabhupada once, in the earlier days, Srila Prabhupada was preaching in San Francisco. No, sorry, it was Pennsylvania, Philadelphia. And he was in that place, and the devotees, this was after a few years of ISKCON established, and devotees had talked to many, many famous and many, many successful historians and people who were professors of religion in various universities. And one of this person was an Indian person who was settled in America for many years, who was known all over the US for being an authority on religion, on Hindu religion. And the devotees convinced him to come and meet Srila Prabhupada. And he came. And of course, he had a whole entourage of people who were his students, sort of disciples, you know, they came with him. And he said, Prabhupada, you know, I have been studying the Vedic literatures, I've studied all the six types of knowledge. I've got my PhD in so and so aspects of the Hindu religion. But I see there are so many contradictions amongst our acharyas. And Prabhupada became very, very... He was sitting... I saw this video actually, so that's why I could describe. Prabhupada was sitting quite relaxed. You see this typical way he sits, he was sitting like this. And in his pillow. Very... with legs folded. And they said, and he was talking that... there's so many contradictions. Prabhupada... I could see Prabhupada just immediately like this. And he said, very grave. Extremely grave. There are no contradictions amongst our acharyas. Straight on his face. And all the students, and this person was dumbfounded. You could see him. And the students, you could see the facial expressions, they were, without speaking, but they were showing their expressions that, no, come on, defend yourself. Would you not defend yourself and make us proud for being your students? Come on, speak. There was complete silence in the whole room. Literally, the video is there, the silence. And Prabhupada is looking at him and he's looking. The way Prabhupada said it was so heavy. But say, Prabhupada, and then he took his courage. He took some courage, because if Prabhupada becomes heavy, then you need to have courage to speak. But he took the courage, and it took him a long time to gather the courage. And then he spoke, but Prabhupada, this acharya says this, and this acharya says this. And Prabhupada allowed him to speak. And he spoke literally for 3 minutes, 56 seconds. And Prabhupada was just waiting. And this acharya is this. But Prabhupada, I have studied this, and this acharya is this. I don't even remember what he spoke, because it was just so technical. And then Prabhupada said, have you finished? He said, yes. There are no contradictions amongst our acharyas. That's all. Didn't explain. Prabhupada was wanting to make a very, very strong point for rest of future. That there is never a contradiction in the acharyas. There is never a contradiction in your understanding of Krishna. It is just our dull brains that doesn't understand Krishna. Thus our dull brains, a combination of our dull brains and Krishna's glory. Krishna is so glorious, and how does our dull brain really understand it? For example, and I heard one of the speakers, one of the ISKCON leaders speaking, that, you know, when you are in the beginning levels of mathematics, you are taught, you cannot subtract a bigger number from a smaller number. You can't, okay? So that means you cannot subtract 16 from 8. So, no, you can't subtract. It has to be a bigger number, and you can subtract a smaller number from a bigger number. Fine. But as you become more advanced in your mathematical understanding, you realize that there's something what's called negative numbers, there's what is called imaginary numbers, there's square root of 1, square root of minus 1. And you realize that, yes, there is a possibility, and there is a whole mathematics dedicated to subtracting a bigger number from a smaller number, and you have negative numbers. And realize there's no contradiction. It's a fact. It exists. It is there. It is just that we don't have a knowledge at that point of time because of our very, very minuscule understanding of mathematics. Do we not realize that it does exist? There is no contradiction. That's why when Prabhupada said, there is no contradiction. So in Krishna, there is no contradiction. It is thus because of our dull brains that we find this contradiction. And many a times, we are constantly in the process of analysis, rationalism, and reductionism. This is two, three things I was just trying to analyze. What do we do, these three things? We are constantly analyzing things, cautionally rationalizing things, and cautionally reducing those things to something that we can understand. Is it not when we get something, we analyze it? Okay, this is what it is. You know, first of all, many years back, I think I must have mentioned to you, many years back, 1991, I used to go to the IIT for preaching. 91 means I was 19 years old. So I used to go to this place and I used to go to different hostels, H4, H5, and we go to each room and give, at that time we would come up with Spiritual Scientist magazine, which we would, edited by Dwarkadish Prabhu, my brother, and you know, we would distribute, because they wanted scientific understanding, so I would go to each hostel and meet them. So I met one person, I still remember. And I said, sir, and he was quite grown up. I mean, not obviously doing his bachelor's. He was doing his PhD. So he had spent a couple of years. So I said, you've been in IIT? He said, I've been in IIT for the last 12 years. I said, oh. And I said, I did my B.Tech. I did my M.Tech. I'm doing my second PhD. I said, so when I heard this B.Tech, M.Tech, for a person who was in 19 years, he was not even finished his graduate. I said, oh my God, he's a big man. And I know, I was always aspiring to be in IIT. So every IITian was like a god to me. So I said, "In what are you doing your PhD in?" I said, "I'm doing my PhD in elastic mathematics." I said, "What?" So of course I didn't appear to be a fool by asking what does it mean. But I said, "I know elastic, and I know mathematics, but I don't know what is elastic mathematics." And to this day, I don't know if all of you are IITians here, you may know elastic mathematics, a PhD in elastic mathematics. I didn't understand. But that doesn't mean that it did not exist. If I can't say, this is all bogus, this is all contradictory, what is this lasting mathematics? But because I don't have a proper fund of knowledge. So when I met that person, I said, oh, must be something. Elastic bhi hota hai, mathematics bhi hota hai. Elastic mathematics, take it, possible, must be. So sometimes you can't reduce something. I was trying to reduce it in a way, elastic mathematics, okay, samajh gaya, something like that. But it's not what I understood. It was something much, much beyond. Because this gentleman was doing PhD for last 5 years on this subject. And I can understand it in 1 second. Elastic mathematics, well, elastic and mathematics. No. Yeah. So this is very important. That from this beautiful verse we are understanding, and from Prabhupada's wonderful analysis we are understanding, that as we begin our spiritual life, in the initial years, we want everything to be, or rather we see everything is black and white. And everything appears to be black and white. But as we progress more in Krishna consciousness, we see, yes, there is black, we see there is white, but there are so many shades of various colors also existing. You can't compartmentalize everything in two sections. You can't be binary. 0 and 1, that's all. For me, nothing exists. It's just 0 and 1. You are a Mayavadi like that. But you see variegatedness. So when you spend time in Krishna consciousness, you realize that not only in what we see, but in Krishna, you see so much variegatedness. And that is why you see the same Krishna who is Ishvara Parama Krishna Sachit Ananda Vigra Anadir Adir Govinda Sarva Karana Karanam Chintamani Prakara Sadma Sukalpa Viksha Lakshavritesh Surabhi Abhipalayantam. The same Krishna is driving Arjuna's chariot, and there is no contradiction. The Lakshmipati, Lakshmi Sahastra Sata Sambrama Savya Manam, the person who is served by millions and millions of Lakshmis or Gopis or Sakhis, The same Krishna, when he rides the chariot of Arjuna, there is no contradiction. It is not that that is Krishna and this is some symbolic representation of Krishna. That's what most people understand. How can both be Krishna? But Gita is just a symbolic representation. That's what you are trying to do. You are trying to simply analyze, rationalize and reduce Krishna to something which you understand. So you can understand, yeah, this. So I can understand Krishna. Because both can't be Krishna. How can somebody to be so great, so powerful, drive somebody's chariot? Because it doesn't fit in my mind. But as you make progress in Krishna consciousness, we realize that both is possible and both is wonderfully, it is possible and it is existing. And that's the glory of Krishna, and that makes the whole Krishna consciousness very exciting and very wonderful. The apparent contradictions, again the word used, Prabhupada says there is no contradiction. Yes, there is no contradiction. But the apparent contradictions makes the whole thing so wonderful. Makes the whole thing so very, relishable. So it is explained, as we progress on the spiritual path, we gain beautiful internal experiences that protect our faith from apparent contradictions and disappointments. This is a statement made by His Holiness Radhanath Maharaj. Interesting statement, I found it very interesting. That as we progress in spiritual path, we gain beautiful internal experiences. That means, this is a wonderful way to check whether we are making progress in Krishna consciousness. Because if we are making progress in Krishna consciousness, then we will gain beautiful internal experiences. And what will be the result of that? The result of those beautiful internal experiences, because we are talking about internal experiences. We are not talking about external changes of shaving the head or wearing a tilak or wearing a particular type of clothes. We are talking about internal experiences, internal change. It will give rise to protecting our faith from apparent contradictions and disappointments. Devotees should learn to be accommodating. Now, how is it possible to be accommodating? I remember many years back, a very, very historic moment when the Panchatattva deities were installed. It was historic. That evening, the deities were, it was a grand opening of the Panchatattva installation in Shridham, Mayapur. And I just happened to, sometimes you happen to be at the right place at the right time. You just find your, not that you are programmed or you have really decided something, but you happen to be at the right place at the right time. So I just happened to be with His Holiness Bhakti Charu Swami, His Holiness Radhana Swami, His Holiness Shivram Swami, and there's one more, His Holiness Sridhar Swami. He was just few days before he left his body, because he was in Mayapur, the last days of his life. These four of them, and they all, Bhakti Charu Swami was crying tears. He said, I definitely experienced Prabhupada. So Prabhupada was definitely present today. I said, how can such ecstasy cannot exist other than Prabhupada's presence? It must be there. He must be there. And then Bhakti Charu Swami, in his own way, was talking, and I was just listening, very little far, but could hear. I said, devotees, he said, if ISKCON has to progress, he said, he was speaking about a point that how ISKCON is growing, and if ISKCON has to continue growing, he said, devotees will have to be accommodating, adapting each other. To learn to adapt, accommodate, and one more word he used. Adapt, accommodate, I forget, there was one more A. Accommodating and adapting. So our devotees, we need to adapt, accommodate and adapt to each other. And how can you adapt to the apparent contradictory things of Krishna and pocketing it down to the contradictory behaviors of devotees? Some devotee is something like this, his temperament is different than the other devotee. But how do we accommodate? Because as you have internal experiences, you will realize it is not just black and white. Not every devotee will be standard. He's not coming from the same machine. You know, it's that Krishna is just kadak tak tak kadak tak tak, machine is coming out, and you see a machine tak 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 tak, and something comes out. Everything is the same standard. It's not that Krishna is that machine that he just churns out people like that. Krishna has tremendous variegatedness. So there is one machine, and the machine is discarded once Krishna creates, say one Hare Krishna Prabhu. The machine is discarded out, because there is nobody other like Hare Krishna Prabhu in this whole world. He's unique, right? and he is actually quite unique. And there's only one of its kind of Shadbhuj Prabhu, one of its kind. That machine is discarded because nobody can be the way he is. So, you know, I remember many years back we were sitting in the room of our spiritual master. Hare Krishna Prabhu was present in the room. And you know, Hare Krishna Prabhu looks at you and then you feel a little scared sometimes. It looks at you like this. And he's the only person, not many people can be like that. So he was looking at our spiritual master like that. And Maharaj said, "Why are you looking at me like that?" He was, you know, because many years he becomes, so he's unique. Nobody can be like him. Even if you try to imitate, you can't be. I'm just trying to drive a point. He's a glorious person. But you cannot be the way he is. He's unique. Each of us are unique. Can you imagine that we are one of its kind? Krishna threw that machine away after he created us. We should be so proud that we are one of its kind. There's nobody like us. And for me, thankfully, there's nobody like me. Yeah? So there's variegatedness. And if there is variegatedness, if the, Krishna is created, everybody's different, how can you expect people to be different, to be same? Not possible. So that's why if you're making progress in your spiritual path, and we gain beautiful internal experiences, so interesting. We have to gain internal experiences. We have to gain, and the internal experiences that we're talking about today is the unity in diversity, the variegatedness in our Shastras, in our Lord Himself. Our Lord is variegated. There is Mathura Krishna, Vrindavan Krishna, Dwarka Krishna. Three types of Krishnas. The same Krishna is three different types. And the way He functioned was completely different. So much variety is there. But there is no contradiction. There is variety but no contradiction. So if you understand that Shudadev is so... Shudadev Prabhu. Shudadev Maharaj, whatever. Shudadev Maharaj is explaining here such an important lesson of life. There is no contradiction. Because Krishna reveals to you the way you approach Him. Very simple. And if He's saying that if you have material contamination in your mind, you're mentally blocked, then you will not understand Krishna. But then He goes on to say that you are understood when you learn the art of appreciating the transcendental qualities of Krishna. You learn the art of appreciating. So that's what we understand from this, is that the appreciation is to be learned. You cannot say, "Well, I just can't appreciate. That is the way I am." No, my dear friend, if you don't know it, learn it. Because learning is innate in everyone. You cannot say, "Well, I just can't walk. You know, I just can't walk." Learn to walk and you will walk. I don't know swimming. Arre, learn to swim. It is there. You will learn swimming and you will become a good swimmer one day. So, appreciation is such an important quality, my dear friends. That if we do not learn to appreciate Krishna, who is so glorious, then how can we expect ourselves to appreciate Krishna's wonderful variegated creation? Or it could be the other way also. If you don't appreciate Krishna's creation, which you can see, you can feel, you can interact with, how do you think you can ever learn to appreciate Krishna, whom you can't see, whom you can't feel? You may feel, but you can't see. So appreciation of Krishna is directly dependent upon how you appreciate His devotees, how you appreciate His creation. And the important aspect of appreciation, that we have to appreciate the variegatedness. If you just can't tolerate the variegatedness, then you're not appreciating. Because many of us, we said, "I just can't take this. I can't take the way this person is behaving." That means you are not appreciating, you are tolerating. Now here he is not said, you tolerate Krishna's qualities. He is not saying that. Oh Krishna, you are like this. Oh, I just have to tolerate that. I can appreciate this quality, but I can't just appreciate Krishna driving this chariot. I have to tolerate that fact, but I love Krishna with the gopis. No, you can't be. You have to appreciate Krishna as Parthasarathi, and you have to appreciate Krishna as Radhanath or Radharas Bihari. You can't separate the two. Right? So similarly, we have to learn the art not of just tolerating. Because if you see when you interact with devotees, the worst thing you can do is that you blaspheme devotees. That's the Hathi Mata, the mad elephant offense. That you a devotee does something, you can't just tolerate it and you just blaspheme as it. Useless. These devotees are useless and you undermine this devotee, and that's going to be ruining your spiritual life. So that's negative. But you know, after so much of this philosophy has gone to our brains, you know, it takes a lot of effort to really blaspheme a devotee. At least it should take some effort. Because it's so much in our brains, you know, NOI, again and again. Don't commit this mad elephant offense. So what we may not commit offense, but we can just, I said, I will not commit offense, but I'll just tolerate. You know, I just don't speak anything. But at the most, what we are doing, we are just in neutrality. We're just tolerating it. But in neutrality, you don't make any progress. What is the value of zero? You are just happy that you are not negative. That's all. That's the only positive about zero, that it is not negative. But tolerating is just almost neutral. It's just reached by, you know, like, you know, like we play this game, kabaddi. And somebody has pulled you and touched the line. You reach the line. Right? So a consciousness has just reached, by tolerating a devotee, it has somehow reached neutrality from the negativity. I'll tolerate it. But any time that tolerance can reach to blasphemy. Because if it becomes too much, you can go back again. But we need to come to the positivity. And that is why to appreciate devotees. And not only appreciate, but to celebrate the differences of devotees. And this is the glory of devotees. This is jai. These two devotees are different. Jai. This is the way he is. This is the way she is. This is the way he works. If we do not learn to appreciate, then we will be in a difficult situation. So, and you know, we see this dualities. I was just thinking about appreciation. There many a times, you know, we have an acute dearth of appreciation. And usually this appreciation, the dearth of appreciation is many times because of maybe just the way we are brought up. We are not seeing so much appreciation when we are brought up. Many times. I interact with many people and they say, probably dekha hi nahi appreciation. Ghar pe dekha nahi hai. I have never been appreciated. So, and how can I appreciate? Many times that could be one of the reasons. Or by nature, we don't have that sukruti of profuse appreciation. It's not just not there. So that's why the way we should be thinking as devotees is that I may not be where I want to be, but I'm thankful for not being where I used to be. Isn't it a wonderful thing like that? Can't we be at least appreciative of the fact that Krishna has been so kind that I may not be, I will appreciate only if I be able to chant my rounds without sleeping. Until then I don't do that, to hell with this process, to hell with me, I'm useless. Fine, we may not be able to do that because we are not reached that level. We are not in the level where we want to be. But can't we be thankful that we are not on the place that we used to be? And see our life when we were not devotees. See how and what horrible. That's why this beautiful song, Yadi Gaur na hoito, kabhi ki hoito, kemona dhoritam de. Beautiful, this whole mood is what we are talking about. He's saying that if Gaur would not be there, what would have happened? So this mood is important because this mood gives rise to appreciation. That if my spiritual master would not be there in my life, if this devotee would not be there in my life, if Radha Gopinath temple would not be there in my life, what would have happened of me? राधार महिमा प्रेमरस सीमा के मोत जगत जानी थी के ही एक्सप्लेनिंग फॉर इज टॉकिंग अबाउट हाउ विल द वर्ल्ड नो द ग्लोरी ऑफ द लव ऑफ राधा रानी बट वॉट वी कैन से हाउ वॉट वुड हैपन ऑफ माई लाइफ ingratitude to God this something ingratitude to God does not rely only on our refusal to give the verbal thanksgiving due to him but also resides in our inability to appreciate his gifts and potentials in us by leaving them untapped. This is very interesting. That's the second way of appreciating. That is not doesn't exist that we don't refuse to thank you for what he has given. That is one way, okay, we refuse. But also not to use the hidden gifts and potentials that we have and making it and keeping it untapped. That's nothing but Yukta Vairagya principle. That if you have a potential, and people have varieties of potentials. Krishna has empowered people with varieties of potentials. You know, few people have expertise in singing. And if a singer thinks, well, I want to be a preacher, and I'll just curtail my singing, but because I want to be a preacher, because preacher gets apparently the glory in ISKCON, so I'll be a preacher. No. That's cruelty. That's not appreciating what Krishna has given you. And many things like that. Every one of us has a unique contribution to make. And if we don't recognize it, if we don't appreciate it, that'll be a problem. Life is not short, it is just by the time we catch up to appreciate it, we are already halfway at least. This is the sad part of life. I will end in 2 minutes. That is not that life is short, many say life is short, but it's just that you realize that life is so wonderful and so many people to appreciate. By the time you realize it, you already spend more than half of your life. The buddhi late aata hai, tube light. You realize that, oh, how much I have to be thankful to my parents, how much I have to be thankful to my guru, how much I have to be thankful to my friends. But the sad part is, the most unfortunate part is, that we realize the glory of something so late, either we have lost that thing, or it is just too less a time remaining to do justified appreciation to that thing. Life is not short, life is long. But you realize it early, you find the life is long enough to really appreciate everything. Better do it now. What is that? In Gujarati we have Jagat Ardi Savar. I mean, when you get up, that's morning. Don't worry. You slept. But when you get up, that's morning. So start it now. Maybe there's phrase in same phrase in different languages also. Now, so if you want to appreciate the sun, be a miner. Mines. To value the land, be a sailor. And my dear friends, all of you. And to long for freedom, get married. Get inspired that you have a brahmachari. If you are longing for freedom, nothing against anybody. But the point I have to drive is, for a miner, he values the sun. For a person who is a sailor, he values beyond land. Oh, land. When he comes on land, he becomes ecstatic. Oh, land, land. And we are always walking on the land. Huh? And on by the way, on a lighter side, you know, if you want to really value your freedom, see the married people. Of course, if you're happily married, then you're also free. That's the wonderful part of Krishna consciousness. The grihastha ashram. But what I'm trying to drive the point is, that value what you have. Otherwise, you see people who don't have it and then you value it. So that's what Krishna, these two important things that our Shrutadeva Maharaj is trying to teach us. Not Sukhdeva Maharaj, Shrutadeva Maharaj. Trying to teach us. First is the importance of knowing that there are no contradictions in Krishna. Krishna is perfect and complete. The inabilities or the inadequacies are within our dull mind. And within the glory of Krishna. Krishna is so glorious, it is not easy to understand him. And that's good sometimes. There are sometimes you can't understand Krishna. So sometimes you should understand, you can't understand Krishna, and that's perfect understanding. And the second thing is the importance of appreciating Krishna, as he's saying, only then Krishna reveals himself to you. Because revealing is nothing but, you know, Krishna has to reveal. You can work hard, One is earning, another is revealing. When you earn, you work hard, you earn. But it's not that you can earn Krishna. But here it is revealing Krishna. So you can work hard, but still you don't do anything. Krishna will not come. Krishna is revealed. And Krishna is only revealed to people who learn to appreciate Krishna's qualities, learn to appreciate the variegatedness of Krishna's creation, and the most wonderful creation of Krishna are His wonderful devotees. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. I think it's getting late, so we will not take any questions. Hare Krishna.